just sell pizza, you stupid fuck. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we take a look back at 2017. It was a bad year in some ways, but we try to focus on the positive, because if we focus on the negative, it'll just make us cry.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Oh, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Hey.
We are here in the beautiful living room studios at Deepwood Mott.
That's true.
And what we are about to do is celebrate, or at least talk about, 2017.
It is officially
2018 by the time this episode goes live.
Yeah.
We're just days away at the time of recording.
Yeah, we have entered a new year, and that new year is 2018. Of course, it is all arbitrary. It's all about just marking a point in space and noting when we return to that point in space, even though technically we haven't returned to that point in space. Since that point in space is now millions of years away.
It doesn't exist,
Millions of miles away. because our galaxy and our solar system have been moving, not just our Earth
and
around
expanding.
The sun. And we've been expanding. All sorts of things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we didn't even return to the same point in space.
I'm glad we're going over this list of all the things that have happened.
Yeah. So, well, I'm trying to give you guys time to think. So
I'm good.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about 2017, what happened in 2017. We'll try to keep it positive because, let's face it, we all, I think, thought the first year of Donald Trump being president was going to suck ass, and he managed to make it worse than we thought.
Yeah, it was, I feel like I've inured to how terrible it is.
Yeah.
And that's the frog in the pot syndrome. That happens, but it has gotten to the point where there are things that the president of the United States says just on Twitter in the morning or whatever that if any previous president had ever said, like officially in any way, I feel like there would have been
to be gone.
The Congress would have been rioting.
Yeah.
No matter which side. I'm not even like saying just Obama. I think if Bush, I think any of the presidents that we've had up to now. You know, like, and it is just astonishing to me. So I feel like I can't even talk about how bad that part's been. And we've all been living through it. We all know.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to go through all that shit.
No.
Let's just keep our fingers crossed for a very Mueller Happy New Year.
Right.
Happy Mueller Year.
So let's not
worry about that too much.
Cool.
We've had our conversation about that.
This is a comedy podcast.
We had our Doug Jones moment this last year.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we want to talk about all the stuff that's come out about people we used to like engaging in horrible sexual harassment and stuff like that.
We got an episode on that. You can listen to it.
And we said on that episode that stuff was going to happen after. And like a day later, stuff happened. And it's still happening.
It is.
And all that is important. But I think what we need to focus on is we need to focus on the positive.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Of 2017.
Hell yeah.
The positive of 2017.
All
so
right.
What I'm going to do as host, I'm going to throw out there for all three of us to start with.
Okay.
What is one thing you saw on, I'm going to say loosely, television?
Okay.
You know, so that can be Netflix original series, HBO,
sure.
Whatever. One thing that you saw on television that is going to stick with you.
I can go first. So, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Season 3 started in October. And, all right, so skip ahead by like a couple of minutes if you don't want Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Season 3 spoilers, like light ones. So, the character, Rebecca Bunch, got diagnosed as having borderline personality disorder, which is a huge deal. She actually, first of all, she attempts suicide dramatically, but like for real. And they do a really great episode about that. They handle it really well. It's very honest and good. And then they go into her having borderline and how, like, getting a personality diagnosis or disorder diagnosis like that, how it can, or a mood disorder, how that can change the way you think about life and yourself. And it was really, really good to see in terms of representation and in terms of, like, handling of a difficult topic that a lot of times gets trivialized or made really, like, hokey on TV. And one other one for representation that was super great was Brooklyn Nine-Nine. All right, so now skip ahead a couple of minutes if you don't want Brooklyn Nine-Nine spoilers. Just
skip past Molly.
But Brooklyn Nine-Nine character Rosa came out as bisexual. Like, and they had a whole episode about it where they just talked about it and her coming out to her parents and the difference between she's not gay, she's not straight, she's bi. It's a whole thing. And yeah. Like, it was really, really great. Those are two things that obviously are near and dear to my heart, and it was really nice to see them on television, handled really well, done by amazing women actresses and creators.
All right, Nick.
For TV, Orphan Black ended this year.
Oh, right.
And that was 5 seasons? Five seasons, started in like 2013. That ended this year Tatiana Maslany.
Yep.
Playing like 8 different characters, basically. And I feel like the end came on a little quick, but like it was satisfying and it was good and it was sad and it was...
Yeah.
Like they could follow it up with a movie and I don't think I'd be satisfied with that. I don't want any more. Like it was good. And I was glad. I was good. I was glad it ended. They ended on their own terms.
For sure.
And they kind of brought it back around to some stuff in the first season. So that was good. I feel like the show Legion was a new show this year.
It was so great.
They took and it's hard to think about that being this year, but yeah. That was like February and March.
Yeah.
And they took so many risks and they did something so unexpected with the X-Men property. And it's super surreal and it reminds me of like crazy psychedelic kind of movies that you'd expect out of like the 70s or something. For something like Space 2001 or fucking like The Shining or something.
For
like,
sure, like, yeah.
It was a risk and it was visually stunning in a way that was very distinct.
Weird. We kept having to pause it and be like, hang on, check in with me. Is this what you think is happening? And yeah. Be like, yeah, that's what I think is happening. Okay, yeah. Shit. All right, hit play.
Yeah. it challenges its audience, which I don't... There's a lot of easy-to-watch TV, and I don't even got a problem with that. I watch a lot of television that doesn't require a lot of analysis and thought, like, that's super entertaining. But this really, I don't know, it required you to be kind of engaged, and I loved that. Those are the two things that stick out to me.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. And I, of course, I don't watch a lot of television series. I just don't have time to have spent on that. I mean, I should, but I don't because I don't manage my time well. Anyway, Pat and I do a lot of watching of like series together. We'll go back and watch usually a lot of...
or like Netflix shows.
Like Criminal Minds and stuff like that. They're shows she gets into and we watch them together. One of the things we watch is... cooking competition shows. We get into them. We enjoy them a lot.
Yeah.
So I watched Top Chef season 14.
Oh, we love Top Chef.
Mild spoilers for Top Chef. Well, it is a big spoiler.
Okay.
Top Chef season 14. Okay. Because they had like half returning chefs and half new chefs.
Okay, yeah.
And one of the returning chefs, her name is Brooke, and she was one of our favorites from season 10.
Okay.
And she was one of the finalists in season 10, and she didn't win. She came in second. And so the cool thing is this year she won, and she was like...
Oh,
she
that's
was like,
great.
We always thought she was pretty awesome, and we were super happy to see
her. Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was the one thing that I'm going to say that, you know, and I know it's nerdy and whatever.
We watch Face
I liked the show Get Over It, people. Okay, yeah. We also watch Hell's Kitchen. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Anyway... so then the other thing, and I'm not all the way through it, and I know we'll probably do an episode. I just got through episode 6, but I have very much been grooving on The Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a hard
We'll do an episode about that.
Yeah, too. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a hard, brutal show.
Brutal is the perfect word.
It is lots of gun violence.
Yeah.
I like gun violence in movies, but
yeah.
Wow.
Well, he's
the Punisher.
Punisher should go too far.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's part of what makes the Punisher the Punisher. So yeah.
It was one of the reasons I didn't like the Tom Jane movie. Yeah. Too much time when the Punisher isn't punishing.
Yeah. Why is he not murdering these bad guys?
Why is he talking to these bad guys? That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
He shouldn't talk to them.
That's not how he works. Yeah. He doesn't care. He doesn't care why. He doesn't need another motivations. Like, that's not how his deal works. Yeah.
He should shoot them, or perhaps first punch them a lot to get information.
Yeah.
And then shoot them.
So that's television.
So that's television. All right. Yeah. So the next question I'm going to ask, and this is going to be a hard one for me, so I'm going to have to go last. Book. A book or a comic. We'll group them together. That you read this year that really stuck with you.
I read the Babaverse series this year, but I think maybe it's just because this is so fresh in my mind, but the sixth book?
Yep, sixth
book. Of The Expanse just came out, and Persepolis Rising, like last week, and Molly and I have already finished it. And so I don't want to talk about it because it just came out. But that's probably my favorite book series right now, I think. Until Patrick Rothfuss refreshes my memory as to his writing style. that will be that's my favorite book series right now.
I will say, so for me, it is it's a book called The Nix. It came out this year. It is a giant, sprawling American novel. When you think of, like, the great American novel, that's what this book is. And I cannot recommend the audiobook highly enough. Ari Fliakos is the narrator. He actually won Audible's Best Narrator of the Year, mostly for his work on this book. But it is fantastic. It bridges 40 years and multiple characters over that time. It has exciting bits. It has parts you don't see coming. It's really a really great American novel, which I am a big fan of.
Awesome.
as a genre. So The Nix by The Nix by Nathan Hill.
Nix. All right.
N-I-X.
We all know that I do not read a ton of books. I read mostly nonfiction, but this year I did finally read The Martian.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's so funny.
And it's really funny, and I enjoy that kind of hard science space exploration. Like, I enjoy reading books like Lost Moon about Apollo 13 and those kind of things. So it is really, it's a funny book. It's got a nice characterization of the main character.
It's well written, it's dialect or mm-hmm. conversation.
So that's the book that I'm gonna say. You know, if you haven't read it yet, it is a fast read and it's really good.
I just started Artemis today.
Is that his new book?
Andy Weir's new book. Yeah, Rosario Dawson does the narration.
Nice.
And I'm like 20 minutes in, but I like it. I just realized that I read the entire we both read the entire Expanse series.
I thought
that's
what you were going to say.
Yeah, that's totally what I picked.
Yeah.
Like that, that is my favorite series.
Get on the Expanse train.
Yeah, for real.
Total Expanse series.
Third season on Sci-Fi in like 2 months.
Tim, you for saying that now that you liked hard sci-fi, this is like hard sci-fi mixed with the political intrigue of Game of Thrones.
I know. It sounds like something I'd be totally into.
The books aren't like Kiloman tomes, like you can't. Yeah. They're reasonable long novels.
Even better, get the audiobooks and listen to them when you do your driving and stuff, or while you're working. Like that's what I do on my commute. That's how I read so much, is I listen to books.
Yeah, right. Or like while doing household chores, that's when I do mine.
Yep.
Okay, so we are Geeks Without God, and I'm gonna do a different question first, but I'm gonna put out there that I'm gonna ask about what kind of anything religious or something that or atheisty that hit you this year, and I'm putting it out there because I don't even have a good answer for that yet. But I'm gonna go back. Geeks Without God. This year was a pretty solid year for geeky films.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah.
what geeky film was your favorite? And I can go first on this
one. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Just because that gives you guys time to think.
Go for it.
And I did actually do a top 10 list of movies.
I know mine.
And my favorite was Coco. I mean, I mentioned it as a geeky boner a couple episodes ago. That. And I just, you know, to me it's like, it's what everything that Pixar does when they do... When they do a good job of the story, and I just really really loved it, and it is a genre film. It's kind of got that. It's got the Day of the Dead vibe, so it's sort of fantasy, maybe even a little bit. I mean, kind of not scary horror, but it has sort of horror element to it. It's just a sweet film that really has stuck with me ever since I saw it. So that's mine, Coco. If you haven't seen it yet, go see it.
I don't know if I have a geeky one.
I picked two, and they're both geeky, one's less geeky. I'm picking two because I'm going to do a comic book movie and then a non-comic book movie.
All right.
I really loved Spider-Man Homecoming. I love, like, all of it. I love the villain. I loved the portrayal. I love the Peter Parker stuff. I loved that Spider-Man came home to Marvel. That might be the reason Disney bought all the shit from Fox. Like, that, them showing that they can do this and that they can bring this stuff in and they can handle it might be why other things happen. But on its own, I really like Spider-Man Homecoming and Guardians 2 and Ragnarok and Logan. Those were all fucking great too. But I'm picking Homecoming.
Okay.
I think Homecoming is the best Spider-Man movie
ever made.
I think Spider-Man 2 is amazing, but Homecoming is better.
Homecoming's the best Spider-Man movie.
Agreed.
But then Baby Driver is so fucking... I loved Baby Driver so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that soundtrack still gets so much play. Like, It's my favorite Edgar Wright movie somehow. Ever. Because I really fucking love a lot of other movies by him.
But Baby Driver is kind of a genre movie, you know? It's a action...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a comic book movie,
but still, it's a nerd movie. Mm-hmm. There's no question. Mm-hmm. All right, Molly.
Man, like, so the things I was... I can't understand what you're miming at me.
It?
Oh, I guess that would be considered geeky, huh? So it was amazing. Stephen King's It was amazing. Yeah. I it's so funny. I never think of that as like, I was thinking geeky, not like, I think horror nerd, not, I was thinking like comics and like science. And I was when you listed all the Marvel ones, I was like, well, fuck me. I don't have anything. No, totally Stephen King's It. It was the most faithful adaptation I could have possibly hoped for. It is so picture perfect. I thought they nailed almost everything, and the things they didn't nail were a little disappointing, but not enough to ruin the movie. And it was mostly just because, like, I wish that they hadn't taken some of the stuff away from the black kid and given it to the white kids to do, and I wish they hadn't taken some of the agency away from, the girl, whose name I can't think of off the top of my head suddenly. I just wish that... I am so excited for the next one, because the next one I think is where so much of the really shitty, horrific stuff happens. As bad as the stuff is with her kids, you can still kind of be like, oh, kids, you have terrible things happening. And with the adults, though, it gets so much worse. So much worse.
Bev,
thank you. I kept thinking Franny, and that's in The Stand. So.
Right.
Yes, that's my geeky movie.
Okay, good. All right, so... Any religious...
That bishop who hit all the child molesting died.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good. Or cardinal or whatever he was.
There was...
Like, that was just a couple days ago.
Oh, what's the shitty Baptist church, mega church owner guy in the South who was not offering his church for...
Oh, Fred Phelps.
For flood victims.
Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen. So, regardless of how much of Joel Osteen's shittiness regarding hosting flood victims was true and not true, because things changed. It may have started bad and gotten worse and then gotten better or whatever. But I was really glad to see how quickly... people and even like the media picked up on someone who's clearly made, you know, he owns a fucking private jet, this asshole,
yeah,
off of people's donations to God or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was very glad to see people jump on him on accountability for, like, I don't know, being Christian or mm-hmm. or for not being Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But both, kind of. But, yeah, that kind of accountability and attention, I don't think I usually see, and I was glad for that.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I read in a magazine that Leah Remini, or however you say her name,
yeah,
because she got a second season of her anti-Scientology show, Exposing Scientology show, now they are, like, trying to do a smear campaign against her.
Wow.
Calling her all kinds of shit, say, like bringing up stuff from her past and other things, and really going hard against her. Because the first season, they kind of pretended like it didn't matter because they didn't think anyone was going to watch, and then she got a lot of traction, and so, yeah.
Good for her.
So, yeah, that's a good thing for skepticism.
We did it first, but...
She's called down the wrath of Scientology on her head.
And the nice thing about it was this magazine article gave me a little handy thumbnail list of a bunch of people I shouldn't ever buy their media from, or you know, consume their media. Like, ones you know about, like, but then not like Peggy from Mad Men, and I didn't know this, Laura Prepon from yeah. Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
And, this other actress who I don't even know if she does anything anymore, but she you would have recognized her name. I don't remember it, who it was, but she was born into it, is the
wow.
thing. Born into Scientology.
Second generation Scientologist.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
And she's in her 30s. Like,
child abuse.
Yeah, right? It
yeah.
is. It is.
So my, the one, and I mentioned it kind of at the top of the show, but as I think about it, you know, Roy Moore,
mm-hmm.
who recently was not elected senator of Alabama, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And I realized that he was not elected primarily because it turns out that he is a child molester, but he also is the same dude who was the chief judge of the Alabama Supreme Court, put up the Ten Commandment display
yes.
in
yeah.
the courthouse.
He was the one bringing the Bible into
yeah.
government.
He was told by the Supreme Court that he had to take it down. He refused. He was fired.
Yeah.
Ran to get the job, and people elected him again because in Alabama they will vote for Republicans no matter what kind of assholes
mm-hmm.
that they are. And after it came out that he was a child molester, every single right-wing religious leader in Alabama stood behind him.
Yeah, and the president stood behind him.
And he lost.
Yep.
And it was close, and that pisses me off because it shouldn't have been close. A child molester should lose. But
right.
it was a red, red, red fucking state.
Yeah.
And he still lost, and that's something.
Do you know what the most ridiculous part about that whole Roy Moore thing was? Grown-ass adults, rational people that I apparently have in my circles somehow, genuinely trying to split hairs and say he's not a child molester and he's not a pedophile, because technically a child has to be under the age of 14 and
right.
a pedophile it specifically means
had their
prepubescent
period, so,
children
yeah.
and since the girls he was going after were 14 and 15 he's actually and they had some other word for it, and it was like, cool, does that make it better for you? Or, like, are you arguing that makes it okay? Or just, like, it's better? Like, I feel like it's weird to say it's okay because he didn't fuck a 12-year-old or try to fuck a 12-year-old. He tried to fuck a 14-year-old.
Yeah, the child was slightly older.
Come on, guys. I mean, she, you know.
And I mean,
hormones.
I'm disappointed that him saying that he felt the thing that America was great when there was still slavery was
yeah.
not enough for him to lose.
Every amendment
after
the 10th.
Did this time, because he 98% of black women and like 97% of black men voted for Doug Jones.
I know, and I don't understand.
Part of it, I think,
I don't understand why any. I mean, as conservative as they might be, it doesn't
make sense. No, I think that maybe there just wasn't as much voting before. That's the thing.
No, but I mean, it doesn't make any sense why 3% of black men would vote for a dude who said it was better under slavery.
Just doesn't mean they voted. They might have just voted for a write-in candidate or someone else.
Maybe. You got to hope.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so those are our religious things. Now, is there a personal thing that was good about 2017 for you?
Yeah.
Let's go with personal accomplishment.
Hell yeah. I got two. Come
on, you got two.
Yeah. First of all, so in October 2016, I suddenly, my knees suddenly, stopped working, basically. And I went and found out I had osteoarthritis in both my knees and had to go through PT and couldn't run for, 6 months. And it was really frustrating. And I was afraid I was never going to really run again or get to go very far. But I have fully recovered. And with the help of amazing physical therapists and then my own doing the work for it, I am now back up to 6 miles at a time, feeling great, no pain.
Hooray for medical science!
Right? It's fantastic. And then my other one is I helped design a game, and it's published, and it's out, and it's called Battle for Okagon. And my name's on the cover, and that's pretty awesome.
And hey, Molly, you can say the name of the game, right?
It's called Battle for Okagon, and it is an area control board game. It just came out, it came out December 7th or 11th or something. So it's a area control game set in Rokugan, which is in the Legend of the Five Rings universe. And Tom Jolly did the core mechanic design and then brought it to us. And I put it in Rokugan, designed a bunch of other fun little things to go with it. And then he and I kind of, gelled it together. And yeah, it's super great. It's I'm really proud of it. It's being well received and it's selling. So
it's fun to see videos of people talking about your game and singing its praises.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, specifically saying, I love this thing. And you're like, yeah, I made that thing.
That's the thing I made. That's me. That's my thing.
Even that specific mechanic or that specific aspect.
Yep. I love this card. This card is sick. It's And also I helped a lot with Fallout. I produced Fallout. I did some development work. I wrote a couple quests and I wrote a couple encounter cards. And the encounter cards I wrote seem to be getting big laughs because I wrote some funny ones, and the quests are also seeming to be good. So I really enjoyed working on that game a lot, and I'm really happy to have both those games out in the world. It was a lot of work this year, but we did it.
Yeah, awesome. So those of you listening to our podcast are like, I would only tell my friends about this podcast if there was a game designer the podcast team.
Maybe not so much about that.
Molly is now a game designer, so now you can listen.
That's true. This isn't a board games podcast, and I won't be giving many interviews or any information about board games I like too much, because I'm not supposed to do that. So my views do not reflect the views of Fantasy Flight Games. I illegally need to say that right now.
There you go. You're talking about your own games. That's it. All right.
I graduated this year.
Yay!
Yeah, I finished my associate's degree, and then I got a job that lets me work from home a lot and pays me well and respects me and worries about educating me and sharpening my skills and shit.
And even when you have to go in, it's not very far. It's nice.
Yeah, even when I have to go into the office, it's 15 minutes away. And,
nice.
And sometimes the on-call work is a little brutal, but they compensate us for it pretty well. So.
He's technically on call right now.
Yeah, so. I'm being paid technically for this time right now that we're spending talking about this.
But he might have to leave at any moment.
But the counterpoint is, my cell phone could go off and I'd have to go fix some routers or shit.
It woke us up at 5:36 this morning.
About a little after 5. Yeah,
yeah.
But, it's been a success for my career and that particular aspect of my life this year, graduating and a new job. And I work with Molly's brother, Kevin, again, which is great. We work together at another place, and it's nice to, even though neither of us is really in the office that often, it still means I see him way more than before.
You have work chat.
We work chat all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, we get to, and it's nice to have someone to grout bitch about and stuff.
That's me and Jeremy.
We're both on call at the exact same time right now, too. Yeah. So it's been fun to talk to him in the morning and be like, did you get paged last night? Oh, let me tell you about this piece of shit. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. What about you, Tim?
All right. Well, the thing that was really a big deal for me this year is I actually got to work with the National Park Service.
Yeah.
To produce a show called Murder on the Mississippi. It was a really challenging show. I co-wrote it with a friend of the show, Eric Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of challenges in terms of how we had to stage the show.
Because it's a murder mystery, like, where you, the guests, or the audience is mingling with the actors, and they're seeing scenes here and there.
And the thing is that it was on a paddle boat. There was no stage, so we were setting scenes at various points around the boat. Mm-hmm. Scenes happened simultaneously. It was a very complicated script. And it just made us... I was really proud of it. And they asked us to do two shows, and they were so popular, they both sold out. They had us at a third show. Mm-hmm. The third show sold out in like a week.
Yeah.
And they've already asked us to come back and do a new show next year.
That's awesome.
They've contracted us to do three shows. So that was a really big...
Now we can get to go see it this next
time.
Yeah,
totally.
Every time it's sold out before we can get tickets.
Yeah, I'll let you know when they go on sale.
Nice.
It was something that I, you know, we all know that I'm super obsessed with and love the National Park Service.
What?
And the fact that we were able to, I was able to work with them and produce a show with them, and that they were really happy with it, was a super big deal for me.
And you got that connection through friend of the show, Sharon Steidler.
I did get that connection through friend of the show, Sharon Steidler.
You know, we had some great guests this year, and I'm not going to start listing them lest I leave anyone off. But honestly,
I don't think Sharon was actually a guest.
No,
this
I'm just
year.
Saying, it just made me think of it. Like, we say friend of the show a lot, you know, but honestly, we've had some really great people, both people we know who are our friends and people we met through doing the show. It's just really exciting to have that happen.
Yeah, we've had a couple of people contact us and say, hey, I'm coming to Minnesota. Would you like to record a podcast?
Yeah.
We're like, sure. So, all right. We're going to move on to five questions in just
all
a moment.
Right.
But before we do that, we have to say it is 2018. What is something you're excited about in 2018? So we got to look ahead. We got to go new year. We know that Donald Trump is still going to be president. We can't do anything about that. But,
I mean, a lot of the stuff I talked about is getting, like, a sequel or more this year.
Sure.
Like Legion comes back, and we'll get another Expanse book this year because those writers are capable of writing one new book a year and a novella every year in the series. We'll get Black fucking Panther in just, like, a month. And then Infinity War and Captain Marvel this year, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I thought it was Ant-Man and Wasp.
Oh, you're right. Yep. It's Ant-Man and Wasp.
Rasp.
It's a story of a man and his very, very high grit file.
Yeah, Captain Marvel's 2019. So all those things, obviously, the penultimate half season of Game of Thrones will be this year.
Nope, 2019.
I thought it's put off.
Is it 2019?
Yep, 2019.
Motherfuckers.
Yep.
Of course it is. George is to blame.
Yep.
Those are the things I think of.
Tim, what about you?
We got the Han Solo movie coming out this year.
Uh-huh.
Which I am certainly excited about.
Like 5 months away.
That's just 5 months away. Shortly after this episode airs, and I know that I talk about going to Disney World all the time, but I'm going to Disney World with my Disney World buddies. So Pat and our friends, friend of the show, Adam Treese, Tears of Treese, and Nan Miller, we are all going back to Disney for 10 days. We're also going to visit NASA.
Nice.
And that's going to be, it's just, you know, they're great people to go on a trip with, and they're great people to go to Disney with, and that is something I'm looking forward to a lot. And the other thing that I guess I'm going to say is my eldest son is going to start college.
That's crazy.
Year.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a crazy
thing. That's going to be weird to just have one kid in the house.
No, actually, he's probably going to college at Hamlin, which is a block from my home.
Is he going to live at home?
Yeah.
That's dumb. He needs to live in the dorms.
Well, he's lived in a dorm for a year and a half already.
I suppose. He needs to get...
It's different.
We will talk about it off the air. I am really fine with it, given how much it costs for a fucking dorm. I really am. All right. Well,
I, too, am looking forward to our Disney World trip that Nick and I are taking over the Super Bowl weekend. I'm also looking forward to... It's my 40th birthday in
April. Yay!
And our 10th anniversary.
And I'm super looking forward to that, even though we're taking a trip in February kind of as a celebration. Like, I'm super excited for the actual day for our... Because it's our anniversary, and then a week later, it's my birthday. And I don't know, like... I the big milestone birthdays are just, it's like whenever there's a year that's going to end in 8, I'm always like, oh, cool. Like, it's just something, you know, you thought about when you were a kid. I remember in 1988 thinking about, oh my God, like, I'll turn 40 in 2018. Like, it sounded like the future. It was so crazy. And like, and here we are. It's not that much different. I mean, there's more phones, but, yeah, so I'm really excited about that. And just, you know, I don't know. I really like life, and I'm really just excited for every time there's a new year. I like it. I like a new year. I like the way that I like the inexorable forward march of time. I enjoy marking it. I always say how old I am. I've never been one of those people that wants to pretend it's not right where we are, you know, and I think that's really, I'm excited for that. Oh, there's a big impeachment march happening in January.
Yep. Sweet.
Just like we did with the March for Science and the March for Women, cities all across the nation, and I'm pretty sure we will be there because I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
So I figured we could probably be there.
There's Altered Carbon, one of my favorite books.
Oh, yeah.
Is getting turned into a Netflix series that comes out in February.
Oh, Battle Angel Alita.
No? I don't know, man.
No? Now you don't know?
Like, when you hold up the way she looks in the trailer side by side with the manga, it looks exactly the same, which is a problem because she has huge anime eyes and it looks really like...
What? You thought you liked it before.
It grew on me. I don't hate it. I'm nervous about it still.
Interesting.
What about, isn't 2018 we're going to get a woman playing Doctor Who, right?
Yep, yeah, right away, like just in a couple
of
weeks.
Like in just a couple of weeks, we get the new Doctor Who season.
Christmas is Capaldi's last
also,
thing, right?
Yeah. Midterm elections! Oh man, I am ready to flip this fucking House and Senate. Like, I am looking forward. Oh, I will be so happy. They won't get anything done, but it'll make the fucking president so mad. I just want him mad.
I want to see him red a lot. I want to see his face because the orange face
chins.
Is yeah. I do have to say, for those of you that are politically minded, the way that liberals win is a 50-state strategy. No state is too red.
Yep.
Alabama just proved that shit.
Yep.
Yep.
No state is too red.
And you know what? No state is too blue.
No state's too blue.
I don't want to hear any of this. I don't need to worry about it. I'm from Minnesota bullshit. Because we were purple in the national election.
Minnesota has two senators up for election this year.
Fuck Eric Paulson.
Two senators up for election this year.
Yeah, fuck Eric Paulson. The guy who's running against him is great.
Yeah.
Dean Phillips for Congress, y'all.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I don't know, political activism in Disney World.
Political activism in Disney World. No.
Any games that are coming out that you guys are looking forward to?
I don't know. I don't follow that close enough to know.
I think that Tomb Raider movie looks good.
Yeah, it looks like the newer games.
Otherwise, not really. There's always the potential that they're going to put out an Animal Crossing title for the Switch sometime soon, but... at this point, I've got a pocket camp and it's fun. So
Anthem looks really fun. Yeah, but it's EA, so I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Beyond Good and Evil 2, Red Dead Redemption 2 are both coming out this year that I'm looking forward to. I think we get an Assassin's Creed game again this year.
Interesting.
Maybe that's next year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
cool.
2018. All right, it's top five questions.
Five questions.
First five questions of 2018. I need to point out, after this, we have like only two more questions.
We have three sets of questions after this.
Okay, you got to send in those questions, or else I don't know how this podcast ends. I don't know. We have a shitty time ending the podcast anyway.
Yeah.
And without questions, it's just going to be a mess. So, So send those in. If you want to know what the questions are, we're going to read them off right now.
We
question
are.
Number yeah. one.
No, can I do my? Can I tell you who we have answers from?
Oh, yeah, please do.
We have answers from Andrew Mlynar. He says, hello again, you glorious, godless geek gurus.
We are glorious. That I've was answered, super alliterative.
I've answered each set of the five questions so far, so it's high time I throw my answers out for this one. Some of the answers are harder than others this time, but I hope you enjoy.
All right.
All right. We should have done it for a Geeky Boomer episode. Anyway, question number one. Because they're hard answers. Anyway,
I get it.
What conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
This is a tough one for me. I find some theories confusing, ancient astronauts. Some amusing, flat earthers. Some absolutely infuriating and disgusting, Holocaust denial. Mm-hmm. But the one that's guaranteed to rile me up every time I see it mentioned is the persistent debate over the authorship of the works of William Shakespeare. I saw something recently that crystallized.
Well, it was Kit Marlowe, right?
I saw something recently that crystallized why it always bothered me so much. The inherent classism of the theory. There's no way a poor, lower class person like him could possibly have written such works. I know it's not world changing, but that theory is the one that jumps out at me whenever I see it.
I'm so glad that theory came up. That has not been brought up as an answer to that question.
Yeah.
And he's right. It is totally a classist argument. It's always just like. Honestly, Ancient Aliens is
basically...
And it's
a weird conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird one. Like, where did that start? Like, he didn't actually write this. Where did that start?
Like, you're sitting there going back there in the Elizabethan time. They were like, oh, I didn't think we could actually say the person who wrote these plays wrote them.
Yeah.
Let's make up this fellow called Shakespeare.
I've
never heard that classist argument. That's
good.
That's
a good argument.
It is a good argument.
Question number two. What is your perfect two-week vacation?
Given the money is not a factor criteria, I would absolutely love to spend 2 weeks exploring the ruins and museums of Greece and Rome. I've always had a deep abiding love for the myths and culture of ancient Greece and would love to see places like the Parthenon in person. This answer leads nicely into...
Question number three. What's a movie or book that changed your life?
Clash of the Titans.
It is
the first movie I have a clear memory of seeing, although I'm sure I saw other films earlier, Empire Strikes Back, for example. But this film absolutely instilled in me the aforementioned love of Greek myth, despite the fact that almost every aspect of the myths, beyond the bare bones, were completely different from the ones I later read. It also gave me a lifelong appreciation for the genius of Ray Harryhausen.
Oh, Ray. Well, I'm embarrassed to admit this. I was young when that movie came out, and I recall that it is the first movie I watched in which there were topless women.
Boy, I
sure did like the movie for that reason. So.
No, that's
fine. Hello, I am still a straight male. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like you've known ever since you were born.
It's like I've known all my life.
It's like you didn't choose, and you didn't choose to want to see those topless women, but there they were.
You
did.
And boy, did I notice.
You were born this way, Tim. You can't help it.
All right.
Question four. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
I'm a pretty geeky person, so picking just one is hard. But I'd have to say the geekiest thing I've ever been involved with was the coup in a Star Trek fan club at a convention. It was ridiculously silly, stupid political stuff within the leadership of the group, but I joined in merely out of wanting to be included.
Political
fan club coup?
Yeah,
amazing.
That's super geeky.
Amazing.
Yeah, you're in. You're in. All right. Question number five. What is your favorite hangover cure?
I don't get hangovers. I've only drank to excess on 3 occasions in my life, when I was much younger, and 2 of them did not result in a hangover. Prevention is definitely the best cure. I drink things because I enjoy them, never with the sole goal of being drunk.
You know who else didn't get hangovers? William Shakespeare!
He was too poor for hangovers.
He was too poor for hangovers.
How could someone that poor afford a hangover? I don't know why I sound like Lovey Howell, but everyone in ancient, back in medieval times.
That actually is
sounded like Lovey Howell.
Yeah, that is actually the correct accent for Elizabethan England.
Yeah, absolutely,
nailed it. All right, well, thank you very much for your 5 questions and 5 answers.
Yes.
I always say 5 answers. I don't know why. But if you want to send us in answers to our 5 questions, send them into 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. We will read them on the air. If you are a Patreon supporter, did I say Patreon supporter? Yes, I did.
Ooh.
If you are a Patreon supporter, you will be bumped to the top of the queue, which right now isn't such a big deal. But if you all listen to me right now and you send in some answers to those 5 questions, it could be a big deal. So We want to thank you for listening this last year. 2017 had its ups and it had its downs, and we tried to focus on the ups. So why don't you do the same in your comments? Focus on the positives in 2017. Tell us the good things.
Yeah.
The things that made 2017... something worth remembering, not just for all the stupid, annoying shit that happened. Because, you know, there are good things in every year. So thanks for listening. We look forward to a better... We're going to say better. We're just going to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to say better 2018. And we hope we will hear you listening to us.
Joe, that sounds creepy.
We hope you'll join us next week. So long.
Bye.
It's now 2018, and that means this century is old enough to get drafted.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Big ups to my favorite podcast ever, Kissy Face Hearts Hearts Hearts.